I've written a column for the latest issues, etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. It really is the kind of situation where you've seen those memes on social media. You had one job. If a pastor cannot deliver on Easter Sunday, he has the best material that there is. He has Jesus dead in the tomb and then alive after 3 days. He has paid the price. It is finished. And now he has been vindicated by his Father in the resurrection and his sacrifice for the world accepted. If you can't preach a good sermon with that kind of material, even if all you say is that Christ has died for you and he has risen again, well, maybe you shouldn't be in the pulpit. Maybe that one job that you have shouldn't be your job. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're going to hear some examples of bad Easter sermons. Pastor Chris Rosebrough is our guest. He's pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Chris, how do big box churches deal with the global pandemic?
Poorly. I have been watching with my jaw on my desk at how much these megachurch pastors who have to preach to either empty rooms or are preaching from their homes have completely lost their mojo. And it's been really bizarre to kind of watch as they're trying to carry on and make the best of everything. And it's clear that in so many of these big box churches, when you go in there and it's completely black, there are no windows. There's only doors that lead out, that the whole thing, the whole enterprise really hinges on their ability to manipulate people's emotions in a darkened room. And without that, some of these fellows, as I've been watching them in their sermons, they for real look like they are out of sorts, that they are not in their groove. They look uncomfortable. The sermons they're preaching are really stiff, super wooden, and contrived, as if they realize that without the ability for their praise band to set everything up, without the disco ball and the smoke machine and the mood set for them, and without that ability to kind of numb somebody's mind, now these guys have to say something profound without the ability to manipulate at all. And to a person, they are really falling flat. And it's crazy to watch. I've never seen anything like this.
I can sit, as in this case right now, in the makeshift studio of my walk-in closet and speak into the air with no audience. But I have had the experience of trying to preach to an empty church for a sermon recording, and it was uncomfortable. I can only imagine, and we don't use the smoke machines and the darkened room and the light show and the big band with the throbbing bass. We don't use any of that. We're liturgical. I can only imagine how much has been taken from the big box pastors during this time.
Right. And we've noted this as we've been doing this segment now for years, that one of the things they do is they have what we call a bullpen, where the pastor says something pseudo profound and everyone goes ooh and ah, and these are guys on the front row who are kind of seated there for the purpose of doing the oohing aahing in order to kind of get the rest of the people to go along. So no smoke machine, no bullpen, no interaction, no ability to manipulate, and now they've got to keep people's attention while they're at home on their couch with their kids. You know, the kids aren't trucked off to some room where they can all be together in the nursery. So you got parents with their kids, you got the dogs and the cats all doing their things, and keeping people's attention without the ability to control all the circumstances and then actually say something substantive, these guys can't do it. Now, I understand that, you know, preaching to an empty church, that is not a comfortable thing. But the one thing that faithful pastors have for them is that they preach the word. So they have really good material to work from. And so on a bad Sunday where it seems like you have several fellows who've decided that they're going to take a nap during your sermon, it's not too much unlike preaching to to an empty congregation. But the problem is that the whole production value is gone with the seeker-driven big box guys. And I've never seen sermons like this. I've never heard things spoken like this. I've never seen settings like this. And so we're into completely new territory is the best way I can put it.
So first we're going to hear from good old Stephen Furtick. Remind us who he is and what should we be listening for?
Okay, Stephen Furtick is the vision casting leader of Elevation Church, which has its flagship mega church multi-site in Charlotte, North Carolina. And Stephen Furtick is a fellow who now is world famous on Trinity Broadcasting Network, and he's a force of nature within evangelicalism and especially evangelical youth. And this particular sermon, you can't see it because we're doing radio. It was weird to watch because it's on the stage at Elevation, their flagship campus, and he's sharing the stage with his praise band, who are all kind of hanging on every word, but everybody's social distancing. So everybody's really spread out. The camera angles are really long, and he's turned this into kind of a mini praise and worship slash sermon time. And he's going to be engaging in his standard go-to technique. We call it narcegesis, where you read yourself into the biblical text. And so what he's going to do is the theme of this is expect resurrection. And just we're going to note how many different pieces of just a little bit of the resurrection story, as well as the resurrection of Lazarus, that Stephen Furtick is going to allegorize and somehow apply to what people are going through right now during the pandemic.
I feel the presence of the Lord. Come into your situation, come into your valley, come into your dry bones. You've been weary. You've been worried. That's all right. He still is. Prince of Peace, He still is. He still is. And Jesus said in a loud voice, I'm not going to do it now, but he hollered. He said, Lazarus, come forth. I believe God is calling some things forth today. The only way to expect resurrection is to fully accept death. So what is God calling you to accept today? Maybe it's uncertainty. Maybe you control freak you. You're having to acknowledge, I don't know what to do. I can't manipulate this. I can't fix this. Okay. You know what? The moment you accept that, expect resurrection. The moment you accept the pain and don't try to shove it down. Mary and Martha were like, we can't roll the stone away. It stinks in there. God, I can't be honest. I don't have it together. God, I can't believe in you. I have so much doubt. Here's what I love about it. Sometimes God asks you to roll your own stone away. That's just opening up your heart to receive resurrection. Here's what I've learned. I learned it from Lazarus. I learned it from Mary Magdalene, who stood at the tomb. And because she faced Friday, she got to see him on Sunday. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to see him on Sunday. The beautiful thing about it is that just like Jesus called Lazarus forth, He's always bringing something forth. I believe he's using this time in some of our lives to set us free from the wrong priorities, helping us to do the math on what really matters, helping us to realize that we're in this together and we are not independent. I believe God's going to bring something forth. Lazarus, come forth. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Ask the stone what happens when God says to move. And I want to pray for you right now because, listen, here's the whole message. If you're like, I didn't like all that hollering, screaming, and jumping around about the bones. It was kind of scary there. I wanted to hear because he lives. And I was going to hear that on the Easter sermon. That's great. I like the hymn too. But here's what God said today. Unmet expectation is the starting point of resurrection. Unmet expectation is the starting point of resurrection. Right there in the chat. I expect resurrection. I expect it.
Chris, that was really meta because for a number of reasons. To hear him actually not yelling a sermon for a change is weird. But at one point in his message there, he's saying, I can't control this. I can't manipulate this. It's almost like he was doing a riff on his own current situation.
Yeah. Sometimes I've noticed that when you listen to seeker-driven vision casting leaders, oftentimes they inadvertently give you a peek into their own pathology and mental psychology. And Stephen is a fellow who's been doing that for years, so I would agree that was quite meta. So, but let's kind of walk through this. Particular phrases, you know, God needs to be talking to my valley, or he needs to be talking to my dry bones, and that Christ is still calling forth things. I need to expect death before I can expect resurrection or accept death. I need to roll my own stone away. And by stone, I mean that could be my own situation where I haven't got my act together or suffering from doubts. Have you faced your Friday so that you can see him on Sunday? And of course, Christ is still bringing something forth. And then ask your stone what happens when Christ speaks to it. And then the word of the Lord for the day is that unmet expectations is the start of resurrection. Does any of that make any sense to you?
Well, you said narcissus, but it's a complete allegorizing of the event by which we have the assurance of the truth of Christ's claims.
Yep.
And the assurance that his sacrifice at the cross was accepted. Why isn't that good enough for guys like Furtick?
Well, for guys like Furtick, they are trained, and Furtick is trained and he's trained others. They are trained to not give negative messages that would not relate to people or worse, drive away the seeker. So Stephen Furtick has always been open about the fact that, if you are a Christian, then Elevation Church isn't for you. It's for the person who is not yet a Christian. So everything is carefully crafted. All of the messages are vetted out for the purpose of their relevance to somebody who is an unbeliever. And so one of the themes you see as you listen to the sermons in the seeker-driven church, especially the Easter sermons, is that everybody is dealing with and addressing the anxieties and the frustrations and the difficulties that people are currently facing as a result of the pandemic. But this is to miss the point. And so one of the things I have found very fascinating is as I've gone through some of my old prayer books, I have prayer books from the 18th century, from the 19th century. One of my favorites is Stark's. And there are prayers in Stark's prayer book and in the older prayer books that deal with the subject of what to pray during time of pestilence. And Stark does this beautifully in his prayer book. He notes the fact that these things come when, as a result of God's wrath, when humanity will not respond to God's kindness, then he begins to act in judgment. And so we recognize then through something like the global pandemic that we're all in, the complete melting down of the global, not the U.S. economy, but the global economy. And you realize that things like this happen not because of that person's sin, but this is the type of thing where you go back to Luke chapter 13, and when they mention the fact that some fellows had lost their lives and Pilate had mixed their blood with their sacrifices, and Jesus asks the question. He says, do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than anyone else? He says, no, and I tell you, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. So times like this cause us to look way deeper deeper down into the fact that the world is cursed. We are living in the valley of the shadow of death, all because of our sin and rebellion. And so the pandemic has, in many ways, stretched Lent, and in many ways forced people into Lenten themes of looking at their own sin and repenting and calling out to God for mercy, which is what pestilences are really designed to do. And there's biblical texts that really bring that forth. But what these guys are doing are trying to assuage anxieties without confronting people with their sin and how their sin has contributed to the pandemic and the problem that we face as a globe, as a race of fallen humanity. And so they are trying to be relevant and talk to people's anxieties without actually applying law and gospel and confronting people and calling them to repentance and faith in Christ. It's actually quite tragic. And then even when they do try to preach the gospel, it just doesn't fit because of how they're trying to work everything. And so here Stephen Furtick is, he's saying a bunch of just vapid phrases that really have no meaning, a complete allegorizing of the text, which at the end of the day will not be able to give anybody comfort. And if anything, cause more anxiety because people don't even know what it means or how to even apply it.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're talking about bad Easter sermons. Speaking of prayer, the Issues, Etc. book of the month for April is Lutheran Prayer Companion. It's in the vein of the prayer books that Chris was talking about. It has prayers for times of war, prayer during the general punishments and national afflictions, all kinds of prayers, almost 500 of them in Lutheran Prayer Companion. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for it. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Have you ever wondered if your investments could do more? I mean, a whole lot more? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. When you invest with us, you not only earn a competitive interest rate, but your investment goes to strengthen Lutheran Church Missouri Synod church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations through low-cost loans and services. To learn more, visit lcef.org/invest101.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're hearing some examples of bad Easter sermons. Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith, is our guest. Chris, up next is Kevin Gerald's sermon, Keep Walking in the Dark. What can you tell us about this evangelical preacher, and what should we be listening for here?
Yeah, Kevin Gerald is the vision casting leader of the Champion Center in Tacoma, Washington. And this is a fellow who I've described as kind of a cheap knockoff of Joel Osteen. And he's going to, we're listening in right as he finishes up reading one of the resurrection accounts in the gospel, focusing on the fact that Mary Magdalene had to walk to the tomb in the dark, and he's going to allegorize that to our current situation with the pandemic.
On chapter 20, John chapter 20, and verse 1, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went into the tomb, and she saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. But about 60 hours before this, Mary's world had been suddenly interrupted and turned upside down. Mary had helped bury Jesus. And then she went home brokenhearted, confused, emotionally a wreck. So our text describes Mary early in the morning, while it was still dark. It says that Mary, in other words, was walking in the dark, in physical darkness. Now, it's fair to say that she had also been experiencing another kind of darkness, darkness that happens when your life gets interrupted, when unplanned, unexpected events suddenly step in, seize control of the circumstances. While it was still dark, Mary leaves her home and she walks towards Jesus' tomb. I want to talk in the remaining time that I have today on this Easter, I want to talk to you about walking in the dark. How many know that it's not easy to walk in the dark? It's counterintuitive to walk in the dark. Everything in you shuts down, says stop, sit down. I mean, just walking through a dark room in your own house can be a challenge, much less walking in dark places where you haven't been before. I want to ask you to do this with me. I want you to say to yourself, keep walking. Say to yourself, keep walking. When life is hard, what are we going to do? We're going to keep walking. When life is out of control, what are we going to do? We're going to keep walking. When you can't see your way, when shadows fall across your path, tell me, what are you going to do? Man of faith, woman of faith, young couple, family that's been feeling a lot of pressure in your life lately, talk to me right now. What are we going to do? We're going to keep walking.
So, Chris, that just sounded to me like a riff on the song Walk On, You'll Never Walk Alone.
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't a lot of substance there, even of the resurrection.
No. In fact, he took kind of a minor detail that she traveled to the tomb while it was still dark. I mean, I wonder what he would have done with the text if it had said that she had had a bowl of cereal first. I mean, you know, that's the kind of details that are there. And it's like you miss the big thing by trying to allegorize the small thing in order to make the message relevant to people in their current circumstances. But the reality is that Christ, all the details of Christ's death and resurrection, specifically the big ticket items, you know, Jesus rose bodily from the grave. No one else has done that. That has relevance to everybody, every day, every nation, every language, and there's good news associated with that. For us, I mean, this tells us of good tidings that God has accepted the sacrifice of Christ, and that in Him there is the forgiveness of sins. And you'll note that when Peter preaches about the resurrection, he notes that Christ tasked him with the job of letting everybody know that Jesus was the judge of the world. And that might sound like something that would create anxiety, but the judge of the world desires and wills for your forgiveness and your pardon. And the resurrection shows that there really is forgiveness in Him, that He is who He claimed to be, the Son of God in human flesh. So, yeah, there's really important stuff here, but he's really keying in on that she walked to the tomb in the dark. And so here we are in the darkness of the pandemic. So what do you do in the midst of the pandemic, man? You just keep on walking. Whew, yeah, I don't need a crucified and risen Savior for that, though.
You said earlier, as you listen to these sermons during the time of global pandemic, that these guys have lost their mojo, I think is what the phrase you used. I've noticed how dependent their preaching, their energy, even kind of their attention is on audience reaction.
Yes, the whole seeker-driven endeavor is not about something that gets you to think. Everything about the ethos, everything about the production is designed to make you feel something. It's all about the experience. Well, without the ability to have the experience, now how do you generate an experience and feelings with people without the ability to manipulate all of the other factors involved and being able to create those experiences? And these guys are falling flat because everything is focused on the emotive rather than bringing the word of God in clarity and truth and placarding and proclaiming Christ and him crucified for our sins. That's not even on the table. So some guys, they're lost at sea. They have no ability to generate these experiences while separated from their large megachurch crowds. And it's really showing on them. And many of them are not only falling flat and losing their mojo, they look stressed about it.
Chris, what's next?
Okay, so we are going to travel to a venue that you and I know about, from history. It's the Toronto Airport Church, or formerly the Toronto Airport Vineyard Church. And John and Carol Arnott, who were the people who brought us the so-called Toronto Blessing, they have been taking a back seat, and a younger fellow by the name of Steve Long is now the teaching pastor there. And he used the occasion of Easter Sunday to talk about the Passover and assure us that today's modern day prophets have assured us that the soon to be end of the pandemic would begin with Easter. I'll let him explain.
Well, friends, I want to talk to you about the promise. And Resurrection Sunday is all about a promise of hope. It's all about a promise of breakthrough. It's all about victory. It would appear for the Jewish people who were asking for Jesus to be crucified, it would appear for the Romans who wanted to get rid of a nuisance and put him on the cross, it would appear that they thought that Friday was a good day of getting rid of a nuisance. But it turned out that Friday was a great day for victory, because as Jesus died 2 days later on Sunday, which we celebrate today, is when he rose again. And it's a breakthrough day. It's a promised day. The very first Passover, according to the Jewish calendar, was 3,333 years ago today. Or sorry, not today, Tuesday. Passover is started Tuesday night and Wednesday. So 3,333 Passovers ago was the very first Passover. And for those of you who have not read the story, it's in the book of Exodus, chapter 12 in the Old Testament, where God spoke to the Jewish people who were slaves in Egypt and said, if you put blood over the posts of your door, the angel of death, which is one of the 10 plagues, the last plague, that angel of death will not touch your house and you will be saved. And it's so prophetic. We're going to look at some passages in just a moment. A lamb's blood was put over the posts as a statement that they were covered. And the Bible is going to go on to say that Jesus is the Lamb of God. And so as the blood was over their house, over that post, the angel of death, when the angel came, passed over, skipped the house. And instead of that happening, of death happening, the Bible says that the very next day, the Pharaoh calls the Jewish leaders together, calls Moses and says, get out. And the Jewish people went to their Egyptian neighbors, and the Bible says they took all the plunder. They went to all their neighbors and said, give me all your cash, give me all your jewelry, give me all your best clothes. And the Jewish people went from slaves in one day to being wealthy. And there was a transfer. And friends, that's part of the prophetic statement of what happens on Resurrection Sunday is change happens, breakthroughs happen, victories happen. And one of the very interesting things about this Passover and this Easter this year is many of the prophets, legitimate prophets, people who hear from God, have had a history of getting things right, have felt that this year is a special year. And with the coronavirus all over the world, and setbacks taking place in finances, people's health are being challenged, some people even dying. Many of the prophets have said that they feel that this Passover, this Easter season, today, is going to be the breaking of that disease.
All right, Chris, he was headed in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
He was on target to proclaim the real comfort of Jesus' death and resurrection, the shedding of blood. He connected it to the Passover. And then at the very last minute, he took a detour into the lunatic fridge.
Yes. Rather than pointing to how the types and shadows of the Exodus and the Passover point to Jesus, Christ our Passover Lamb has been slain, the Apostle Paul writes. Rather than doing that and placarding Christ, he then jumped into today's modern prophets, and the two in particular he was referencing there, he didn't reference them by name, were the so-called Apostle Chuck Pierce and the so-called prophet Tracy Cook, both of whom Dr. Michael Brown of the Line of Fire and major charismatic leader, he basically said that these men had prophesied this, and he publicly allowed himself to use their prophecies that there would be a diminishing of the shaking, as they said during the Passover, as a way to test today's modern prophets. And so, rather than preaching Christ and Him crucified, risen from the grave, connecting it to the Exodus, which would have been a great Easter sermon, he then steered into this. Oh, the today's modern prophets who have a history of getting it right. They've said that this is all going to come to an end. All this is going to go away, starting with the Passover season and the Easter. And you know what? Here it is, the 24th of April, there's no end in sight for this. There's been no diminishing. And so, rather than give them something that is true, that comforts, he gave them lies that now is that have shaken their faith. So again, this has really been just a bizarre thing to watch as the seeker-driven movement has lost its mojo, but the whole charismatic movement and NAR, they have come crashing down on themselves. I'm sure you've seen the nonsense, by Ken Copeland. We even covered that a couple weeks ago. But I mean, it's just bizarre to watch as all of these charismatic prophets who are decreeing and declaring and commanding and controlling and prophesying the end of the coronavirus, that every single one of them are shown to be completely false with no authority and who clearly do not hear from God. And so, yeah, that was a tragic sermon that was focused on today's modern prophets when it should have been focused on Christ and Him crucified and risen from the grave.
Before the break, we're going to hear from Keith Kraft. What should we listen for?
So Keith Kraft is the vision casting leader of the Cathedral of Frisco in Frisco, Texas, and he's one of these fellows who makes a big to-do about the fact that every year God gives that particular congregation a specific word from God that will focus on what's going to happen in the coming year. And it was very interesting watching him without anybody in the building trying to reiterate and get people to confess what he says was the word of the Lord for the year 2020. And just listen to the details of what they're declaring compared to what has really been happening in this year.
Hey, happy Easter, everyone. Thank you for joining us in this very special season of Easter in our online experience. And we just welcome you, whether you're part of our Elevate Life, a church family, or whether you're just tuning in and watching this, we're honored to have you. Well, we have a tradition at our church, and we start every service with some declarations. And so I would like to invite you, whether you're watching with your family or friends, just to stand wherever you are. Let's put our hand over our heart. Let's make these declarations. Say this with me. Say, I declare that I'm created in the image of God. I am blessed to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and take dominion. I declare that 2020 is my year of transformation. Things are not just going to change for the better, but 2020 will be my best year ever. Say this with me. I declare that 2020 is double for me. Double blessing, double anointing, double portion of good things in every area of my life. I declare that according to Psalm 65:11, that God is crowning my year with goodness and my path will drip with abundance. I declare that as I am taught the word of God and apply it, that I am wonderfully well and blessed and highly favored of the Lord. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give God a big hand. Thank you so much. You may be seated. And again, thank you for joining us for this very special online Easter experience at Easter at the Cathedral, or the Cathedral of Frisco. So thank you so much.
Chris, it was kind of, normal energy up until it was one hand clapping, and you realize the guy's just all by himself, and he even says, you can be seated now, as though the audience
right
there. He kind of was on automatic pilot.
Yeah, yeah, that was muscle memory there. It's still, so I'm going to point this out. The people at the Cathedral of Frisco, they have been saying those decrees since January. And so that hasn't changed, but the year has really changed. And I cannot imagine any of them in their homes, you know, locked up because of the global pandemic, saying that this is the year of double-double. Double blessing and double abundance and stuff like that. If anything, for the average American, many of them, this has been the year of like double cursing, double, you know, losses, and you know it's just been a mess. And so the pandemic has created this surreal opportunity to that just makes these guys and their false theology and the emptiness of their words stand out in stark, stark, bold letters that everybody can see. And it's sad, but it's also really kind of weird and funny in some ways as well.
It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're listening to some bad Easter sermons. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. After the break, Tim Timberlake's Darkness and Doors. I've written a column for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll wrap up Hebrews with the shepherd of the sheep and begin Romans, the obedience of faith, mutual faith strengthened, not ashamed of the gospel, and the revelation of wrath. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Lord, help us ever to retain the catechism's doctrine plain.
What makes a church unique? Perhaps we should ask what makes a church faithful. Calvary Lutheran Church of Elgin, Illinois, continually learns Christ's doctrine, simply explained in the small catechism. This doctrine teaches us Christ crucified, who even today comes and serves his baptized children in word and sacrament to forgive, strengthen, and teach us for daily life. This, Christ's own work among us, makes and keeps Calvary Lutheran Church faithful. Visit us at clce.org.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
Theologians are not theoretical physicists. We're not looking for new ways of understanding what God has revealed. We know what he has revealed.
Isn't it ironic? Today we have some human being that's supposedly supposed to show that we're primitive and ape men, named after a man who apparently understood the creative.
With that kind of an attitude, I think we get at the biblical notion of what patience is mostly all about.
If I'm a classic evangelical, the only place I have to look for assurance is the fruit of my faith and my growth of good works. That's the only place I have. I don't have anything else. I can't look to God's word. I can't look to the sacraments. Those are not sure for me.
In about 10 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Those four soundbites we will play for you. And then your vote will decide which will be the Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about bad Easter sermons. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. Chris, what can you tell us about our final cut?
Tim Timberlake is the person we're going to be listening to. He's one of the teaching pastors for Celebration Church, which is a multi-site megachurch in Jacksonville, Orlando, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. They also have satellite campuses in Paris and Zimbabwe. So they're quite international in their outreach. And as we listen to this part of his sermon, this is going to be a classic allegorizing of different elements of the story, similar to what we heard Kevin Gerald do. But Tim Timberlake is going to go a little bit farther, and he's going to really just start mixing metaphors here in order to create some relevant meaning to different aspects of the resurrection account.
And the thing that we can identify with and allow to resonate with us today is the darkness that they must have experienced on that day when they went to the tomb and they saw that the door of the tomb was open and the tomb was empty. And a lot of us are in a season of our life right now where we are in the middle of what may seem like darkness, in the middle of uncertainty. And as we look through scripture, we can see on Friday, they crucified Jesus. And then there was Saturday, and that Saturday was a great day of confusion because Jesus had told his disciples and Jesus had told the people following him that he was the savior. He was the life giver. He was the healer. He was all these things. And on this Saturday, it seemed like he was dead. And so Saturday can be known for us as a great day of confusion. And a lot of us are in this season right now where we are seemingly in what would seem to be a Saturday. We are in great chaos. Some of us watching are very fearful. Others of us are worried. There are others of us viewing this or sick in our bodies. Some of us have lost our jobs. This is not the season that we expected. This is not the season that we had hoped and anticipated for. It's a season of great confusion. And for some of us watching this, we're asking the question, God, if you are there, why are we going through this? God, if you're so good, why is there so much bad happening? And the questions that we have built up in our mind, we don't have the answers to, but what we do have the answers to is found in the Word of God. And so whenever we don't have answers to the problems that we are faced with, we can always go back to the promises that Jesus has given us through his word. And we can search throughout the Word of God and look at the promises that he issues us and find reassurance and confidence and that he is who he said he was. So we no longer have to live in our Saturdays. One of those promises that Jesus gives to us is found in John chapter 10, verse 9. He says, I am the door, and everyone who comes in through me will and shall be saved. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment, because there was a door that was sealed on the tomb that was now open. And Jesus says in John chapter 10, I am the door, and everyone that comes through this door shall be saved. And the thing that we can see today is so many closed doors. For those of us that have had the opportunity to get outside and walk on this quarantine and in this season of isolation, we can find businesses that have their doors shut. Others of us that stay from coast to coast, that live by the beach, we can walk on the beach and see that there's no one on the beach. There's no activity going on the beach. For those of us that live in the cities, we can see the streets are empty. There are so many doors that are closed.
Chris, you're going to have to explain to me how you can talk about the tomb with the stone rolled away and never get to the risen Jesus.
I don't know. I don't know how you do it, because the scriptures say to preach the word, the resurrection account is an encapsulated story. It has a beginning, it has a middle, it has an end. There's, a buildup of conflict. There are amazing proclamations when Jesus himself appears to his disciples, and how you miss all of that. It has a lot to do, I think, in some senses, to do with kind of the standard way in which purpose-driven and seeker-driven pastors are taught to preach. They are specifically told not to read long sections of Scripture, and instead you just look for verses out of context and string them together into a message. And so what we heard there was not a coherent recounting from the biblical text in context, the historical eyewitness accounts of the resurrection of Christ and the great good news that goes with that. Instead, he was staying true to form as far as a purpose-driven, seeker-driven pastor is concerned, verses out of context, stringing things together, and in so doing, it really ended up sounding like word salad. The thoughts didn't make any coherent sense, and the chasms of logic that he was jumping, even Evel Knievel couldn't have jumped those in his rocket car. I mean, it's not possible. It was really, and that's the whole sermon. It really is, all of it's to that degree, that confusing.
But when you cut yourself loose from the text, even one as vital and as important as the resurrection, and your whole goal is to somehow relate this to somebody's life, in the end, it almost sounds as though the actual resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ is not that relatable. We have to look for other things that are relatable in the Bible. It's the one guy walking in the darkness, and this is the door is closed, and this is, we're going to keep on walking, and Jesus just gets left behind because apparently he can't be related to people's real lives, especially during a pandemic.
Yeah, and you'll note this coming Sunday on the three-year series, which we're at Kongsvinger, you know, we have the Road to Emmaus account, where Christ opens up the biblical text to these fellows on the road to Emmaus who've been overcome with doubts and unbelief regarding Jesus because of the crucifixion. And Jesus, you know, chides them and basically says, oh, you slow of heart, you know, and not willing to read and consider all the things that were written about the Christ. And then he opens up the scriptures, all the things related to himself. And so the Bible is about Christ. It's about his redemptive acts to save us. It's in type and shadow and in symbols in the Old Testament, fulfillment in the New, laid out clearly and unambiguously in the theology of the epistles. And I mean, and it's just brilliant. I mean, it's such amazing. It's an amazing story. Connecting it all to Christ really gives us the true sense of what the Bible is about. And the Emmaus story really brings that to light. And by thinking that the Bible's about me, that I have to make it relatable to other people, it then makes it so that Christ becomes a supporting character that makes few appearances in Scripture, and you don't know what to do with them, whereas myself and other people then become the heroes of the text and the main focus of these texts. And when you do that, that's narcissism and idolatry, all kind of rolled up into one, and you miss Jesus and the good news that that brings. As a result of it, you have the faith that reads these texts these ways is full of doubts and uncertainty and an inability to have any confidence of salvation because, and not only that, an inability to rightly understand the biblical text and a nagging belief that none of it makes sense anyway and that it's not even real. You know, so this type of preaching doesn't create faith, and nor does it feed faith and sustain it. It actually pulls at the fabric of it and pulls it apart.
Finally then, Chris, what's on the docket for Fighting for the Faith tonight?
this topic. And I have to go get some stomach pills to get ready to do this again. So
listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues Etc. at 5 Central at piratechristian.com. That's piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We've got our four soundbites. We're ready to play them. We'll do so after the break, and then we'll await your votes. 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Stay tuned.
The world around us is laser-focused on the fear of death and disease. The April issue of the Lutheran Witness has the answer, Jesus and his resurrection. In this issue of the Lutheran Witness, Dr. Adam Francisco answers objections to the resurrection. The Reverend Sean Denzer discusses resurrection hymnody, and there's so much more. If you're worried about death, then take the opportunity to read about life in Jesus and his resurrection. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/witness.
Did you know that for over 40 years, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod ministries with low-cost loans and resources? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Because of faithful investors like you, we've been able to help church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations. To learn how you can get involved, call 800-843-8233.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.